Culture breeds independence. And it tells us, and every commercial tells us, and all the ads, and even the conversations, and the songs, and what's said in so many of the songs on the radio today, that it's all about you, and it's, you know, it's all about you being the man or the woman, and it's all about, it's just you, isolation, independence. And this creates a mindset that we don't want to commit to anything because we feel like we're giving up options. I want to keep myself available for all options, etc. I don't want to go too far into this. So basically, we end up, I'll just put it in a picture form, we're like potted plants instead of being planted in a garden. We keep ourselves in the pot so we can move around. We can go, we can church hop, you know, or we can job hop. And the problem with that is your roots will never go deep, and we're never going to experience all that God has for us because there's other plants around us that are being blessed by the Lord, and we can receive from them when we're planted in the garden with them. I'm just trying to put it in a picture form. Otherwise, you're by yourself, you're alone and isolated, and that is not the design of the kingdom of God. He's designed, it says in Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. This is a scripture the Lord spoke to me to break me out of my pot a long time ago. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and teachers. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, so the ministry ministers to the body so that the body, the fivefold ministry, ministers to the body so that the body can go about the work of the Lord. Now listen to how it works. Listen for individuality versus working together. Which one is God? What side is God on? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Do you see there's virtually no independence involved in that? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the stature of the statue of the fullness of Christ. Stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom, listen, the whole body being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Listen to that. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He's using the human body and saying, just like the body is fit together with joints and tendons and ligaments and muscles and all the various parts, that makes a body that can move and do great things. The arm off by itself is just not going to be able to accomplish very much. And that's what the Lord is saying. That's how I've designed the body to work. And I was like always really resistant, kind of like what Laura was saying. I don't know if that's exactly what you were saying, but I was always very resistant to ever go up front for prayer and all that. I was just like, hey, man, you know, I'm good. I have a good relationship with the Lord. If I have a problem, I just go to the Lord. It gets taken care of. And, you know, I was living a rather successful life in my walk with the Lord, but I found a couple times where I hit these walls that I could not get over or through. And one time I was dealing with that, and I was like going before the Lord and getting into the Word, and I just couldn't seem to break through in this particular situation. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly one day, just before I was going to church. I was on the worship team, and the Lord said, I want you to draw from the body. And he made it really clear to me. I don't want you to keep coming to me for everything. I want you to learn how I've established the body and draw from the body. And he said it so strongly, it was like, all right, I was going to be in complete disobedience if I didn't do it. So I went to church. Our worship team gathered around, you know, it was before church started. We were all in a prayer room praying, and we all started just praying over the worship service. And this was not a time for praying for each other. That wasn't the point of our meeting never was. It was the prayer over the service and the worship time and all that. And we were doing it. My heart's beating. You know how it is when the Holy Ghost gets on you. And I'm like, Lord, but this isn't, you know, we don't do that here. And I just said, hey, guys, I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you all for a minute? And I was like, what are you doing? Yeah, what? And then I said, I really feel like the Lord spoke to me this morning that I was to ask you guys to pray for me about a particular problem. I know that's not what we normally do here, but I really feel like the Lord told me to do it. So I'm just going to ask you to pray. And I told them about the whole situation. And they just immediately just gathered around me. And they all just started slapping hands on me and started praying. I'm telling you, the power of God was flowing through them. I mean, it was like words of knowledge. They didn't even know it. They were just praying. And it was like a river of heaven just flowing through me as they were praying. And it broke the deal off of me. Totally broke it off of me. And I literally did not have a problem with it again. I just, the rest of my life, I just was been free of that situation. And it was literally drawing on the body that caused that to happen. And what the Lord was teaching me is certain things, I don't totally understand it, but certain things require the body for it to happen. So all that to say, like Avery's decision is just a powerful decision. I know it's a powerful decision in his life, even if he doesn't know it. He will learn that that was a powerful decision that he made here. My guess is he already knows it. And the same is true like with the women's group. And I love that idea of the one-on-one that Carissa was talking about, how you can, you know, you just push through that comfort zone and reach out, get to know someone. And she was even saying, I promise you, there will be benefit. You will see the benefit. And there is. There's just power in that, reaching out to the body. Amen? Yeah. Okay, sermon number one. Number two. Let's go ahead and pick up from where I left off last week. We were in 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you recall, I was talking about the difference between two kinds of knowledge. What we're talking about as a whole right now is the transformation that God desires for every one of his children. There are three phases to the will of God, the overarching will of God for our life. Number one is what? Reconciliation. What's number two? Transformation. And number three? Duplication. Now, reconciliation is an event. Mine was on July 17th, 1983, at about 8 o'clock in the evening. It's the day that I got wise and gave my life to the Lord. That's when the reconciliation took place between me and the Lord. It was in a moment. The blood of Jesus cleansed me, and I became one with the Father. So I was reconciled to the Father. Now what the Father has called me and every one of us to, who have been reconciled to him, is that we would be transformed. Now consider this. In the beginning, God created Adam. It's the word for mankind. It's the Hebrew word for mankind. It's Adam. We refer to it as the man's name. We call him Adam, which is also accurate. But the word that he was given for his name, it's just like when God called Abraham. He changed his name because in the name was the very power or the vision, the plan of God for his life, and it brought the power, and that was Father of Many Nations. That was his name, Abraham. That's what the word means. So God said, I'm going to start calling you Father of Many Nations. Well, Adam, he says, I'm going to call you mankind. Adam, are you with me? In that creation was perfection. God made him perfect. So he had no fear, no anxiety, no concern, not even a thought of need. It didn't exist. There was no thought of need. Everything was provided for. And the reason everything was provided for is because he was in complete agreement with the Father. They were one. There was no argument even in Adam's mind against God. He was in complete agreement with him. So everything flowed. There was no out of submission. There was no lack of commitment. It was 100%. I'm yours. You're my creator. No reservation, no holdback. All of him was the Lord's. And in return, all of the Lord was his. They were one. They were in complete unity. The very thing I just read, God's calling all of us to come into this unity of Christ. That's what they had. As a result, everything flowed perfectly. There was no lack in any way, in any shape or form, right? Then what happened? He made a decision. Someone came into his life, began to talk to him, words contrary to the word of God, and now he had a choice to make, and he chose to do his own thing. Knowing that the God had said not to do this, he chose to do his own thing. As a result, sin entered in, and mud went into his brain. So then he became a mud brain, like the rest of us. Now he's not thinking clearly. Now he's really trying to work through, what was it? The mud. It was knowledge, right? The knowledge of good and evil. Something he didn't possess before. Suddenly he's got all this knowledge, and now this knowledge that the enemy told him would be a blessing and a gift, in fact, was a curse. And it became a curse to him because now he's got all kinds of other options in his mind. Well, I could do this and I could do that. God says do this, but I could do that and I could do this. Now he has this constant battle going on in his mind of choosing which way will I go. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the state that we're in. Now, back to the message of transformation. What transformation's all about is God wanting to bring us back to the state that Adam was in previous to the fall, where our mind is completely renewed to God's ways, God's thoughts, and we start getting into, remember I said this last week, and I'm going to be saying it a lot, here's the second one, we come into agreement, not disagreement, but agreement with the Father in everything, in all things. So we find ourselves at in multiple ways in our life at a place of lack. There's a lack in this area. There's a lack in this area. There's a lack in this area. And yet the Bible promises that all that we need will be provided for by the Father. So then the question remains, well, where's the breakdown between the promises that says all my needs are met and will be met for all time and the fact that it's not happening? And the answer to that equation is right here. It's between our two ears. It is our mind. Our mind is not in complete agreement with God. Now, it's very difficult to figure out how is it possible. Well, let's do this. That's kind of a setting a little of a backdrop to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I want to read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And it says this. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. So he's talking, he says, this is only to born again children of the Most High God. To those who what? Have obtained like precious faith with us. First thing we see in that is that anyone who's accepted Christ has received the measure of faith. Romans 12:3 tells us that very specifically. To those who have obtained like precious faith. So you can say, I have the faith of God, because you do. And here's how you got it. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we got it. By his good work, his righteousness before the Father, not ours. But because of what Jesus did, we received this gift. It came with salvation, a gift of faith. Then he goes on to say, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now this is the power of God. God one time gave me a definition of grace. It's not the only definition, but it's just one that the Lord gave me. 25 years ago, he just started sowing into me this understanding of grace and what it is. And he said to me, this is my willingness to use my power and my ability on your behalf. It's my willingness. This is what grace is. My willingness. That means yes. You could just replace the word willingness with yes. This is Grace is my willingness. I'm saying yes to using my power and my ability on your behalf. So you don't even have to ask, well, Lord, is it your will to bless me and provide all my needs? Amen. The answer is yes. Amen. The answer is grace is yours. Amen. Now, how do we receive this grace so that all of my needs are met? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of. Amen. In the knowledge of. And then it goes on to say, of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's in knowing God. There's a knowledge we gain that causes grace to be released. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was first getting this, it was a major disconnect. Wait a minute. I just don't understand how that could be possible. What does knowledge in my cranial cavity have to do with God's power? I'm crying out for God's power, and you're saying knowledge. And I'm saying, no, I need God's power. And he's saying, knowledge. Knowledge brings it. How does that happen? How does knowledge bring God's power? I don't know if that you find that to be difficult yourself. I struggled with that. How does knowledge bring the power of God? One thing that's very important to understand for that to click is to understand that he is not talking about sense knowledge. And I started talking about last week the difference between sense knowledge and another kind of knowledge that the Word of God teaches us. What is that other kind of knowledge? Revelation knowledge. All of us have experienced it, whether you realize it or not. You've had many, many times, if you've been walking with the Lord at all, where you've operated in a revelation knowledge. You know, it's that knowledge that I'm going to just break this down real simple. So I want you to start to get revelation knowledge. You know that when you get ready to go buy that one thing, but when you go to buy it, you find yourself looking at another thing, which you've already done all your research. You know this is the right thing. This is what you're supposed to buy. But when you get there, it's just something inside of you that says, that's not it. Amen. I'm supposed to buy that. Amen. And you're like, well, now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I just know that's what I'm supposed to buy, and you buy that, and it ends up being the biggest blessing. Amen. Now, that was knowledge, but it wasn't a knowledge that came through reasoning.
This is good.
It's another kind of knowledge, and I could go on and on. We could talk about examples, but I think maybe just with that, you know what I'm talking about. That's sense knowledge. I mean, that's revelation knowledge. It's not sense knowledge. Who said that? So, it's this kind of knowledge that God wants us to operate in every aspect of our life, at every moment of every day. The only way that's going to happen is to fill our mind with revelation knowledge so that our reasoning faculties come into subjection to revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge or reasoning must come into subjection to revelation knowledge. The only way that's going to happen is if we fill our mind with revelation knowledge so that we have more of it than we do have sense knowledge. What happens is we start to become very sensitive to revelation knowledge as we operate more and more in it. We get better and better. It's no different than going to the gym and working out. And at first it's very difficult and there's a lot of, you know, resistance. Hopefully if you plan on getting anywhere, there should be some resistance. But, you know, maybe I go into a gym right now and I get on the bench and you put 300 pounds on that bench and I lift it off the bars and bam, it comes right down to my chest and I can't lift the thing off, right? But let's say we put 150 pounds on there and then I start doing a bunch of lifting with that. There's resistance there, right? But I can do, you know, whatever, 10 or 15 of those. And then a month later I go in there and we move that up to 200 pounds and I can push back against that, and the same thing with the 300 pounds. I eventually get to the point through exercising of my muscles, I'm able to actually operate in more power. I'm able to operate with more excellence in this area, because I'm trying to relate it to sense knowledge. It's exactly the same in sense knowledge. If you aren't practicing this, if you aren't reaching out for it, if you aren't looking for it, you'll find yourself no more operating in sense knowledge a year from now than you are right now.
You mean revelation?
Yeah, yes. Thank you. And keep that coming. I'll probably do that many more times. Yeah, you're not going to be operating in revelation knowledge anymore a year from now than you are right now if you don't begin exercising this blessing from above.
Amen.
God has for every one of us an abundance of revelation knowledge in every area of your life. Revelation knowledge in the area of your finances. Revelation knowledge in the area of your health. Revelation knowledge in the area of wisdom. Revelation knowledge in the area of your business. Revelation knowledge in the area of your marriage. Revelation knowledge, not sense knowledge, in every area and aspect of your life.
Amen.
He wants you operating on a different level that is completely beyond
Amen.
What this world has to offer you. The world has a way of raising children. God has his way. The world has their way of doing business. God has his way. The world has what it calls love. God has his way that he calls love. And what I keep finding is every time I learn God's way in something, it's usually about 180 degrees opposite of what the world has taught me. The world says in the area of finances, get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. God says, if you want more, give it away. Completely opposite. He says, start giving it away. And he says, give, and what'll happen? It shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Now, where does that make sense? Where's the logic in that? Give, and you'll have more. Do you know that there's no logic in that? Peter was talking about tithing earlier, and he says, if you're not tithing, you're losing money every day.
Exactly.
I mean, I just started laughing, right? And, a little bit out, but inside I was really laughing. Right when he said, I'm like, because it's just my whole spirit just leaped with it, because it's so true.
Exactly.
You're literally losing money every single day. But the world's knowledge is actually, it's telling you the best it knows. It says, no, you got to hoard, keep all you can, and then keep getting more, and hoard it, and you'll grow and you'll have more. Well, there's, you'll get to a certain level doing that. God says, you want to blow that out of the water? If you give, my kingdom has a power in it, because I released it with words that says that I will return to you 100-fold. Now, an interest, do you have any idea what that is? Do you know what it's like to get 100-fold interest?
It's better than 2%.
Yeah, it's better than 2%, which I don't think you can get that right now in the banks. But yeah, exactly. 100-fold, that's not 100%. Don't think in terms of percent when he's talking about 100-fold. It's 10,000%. Now, that's a serious ROI, all right? Let me just tell you, I've done a lot of investing, never come anywhere near that until I invested in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Then I started experiencing this outrageous, this is what Peter was talking about, that exponential curve. God's ways are just beyond our ways. Now, he says this. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, that's the analogy he's given. Think about how far the heavens are above the earth. So are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
That means he's way smarter than us.
That's exactly. That's what that's saying. It's saying, boy, I'll say, pay attention, boy, because I've got a thing or two to tell you. So now, he's not saying, yeah, you're dumb and you're going to have to stay that way. He's just saying, yes, you're dumb, recognize that, and let me bless you, because the very next verse says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, okay, just as that stuff comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud so that there may be food for the eater and seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so shall my word be. so shall my word be.
Amen.
That goes forth from my mouth. All of this is his word that went forth from his mouth. He says, it shall not return to me void. Are y'all wanting to know where this is?
Yeah.
You're like, man, I don't think that's in the word of God. Woo, very good. Isaiah 55. I think it starts at about verse 8. Yes, there we go. I have confirmation on that. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Louis is probably really glad I gave that to him so that he can give it to you guys. Let's go through like 8 through 12. I don't know. Whatever you can fill on the screen. So, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Now I got to be careful, make sure I quote this right. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. He says, just like the rain coming from where?
Heaven.
Where's the word of God come from?
Heaven.
Or came from? Heaven. It'll still come, but it came. The word came and took on flesh. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We have the word of God, all right? So just as he says, just like the rain comes down, so does my word come forth, bring forth bud, makes the earth produce fruit. Now you can go and put in the sickle and enjoy the harvest. So will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will not return to me void. That's Almighty God that said that. It will not return to me void.
Amen. Wow.
You know what that means? Well, it goes on to say what it means, but I kind of wanted to put it in my own words, but I guess I'll use his. He's saying that what I said it will do, it will do. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish, is that what it says next? What I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, what it says, it'll do. It's not going to do something else. It'll do exactly what I said it will do, and it won't do anything less. Now get this though, he says, my word will not return to me void. But do you understand it has to return to him? How does God's word return to him? Huh? Say it again.
By say it.
What'd you say?
By say it.
Yes, exactly right. His word we are supposed to put in our mouth and speak it to the Lord.
Wow.
In faith. Nothing doubting.
Wow.
Now, if you do that, God says, my word doesn't return void, meaning nothing happens. He said, that's not going to happen. Not on my shift. If we return God's word to him, it will produce. And you know what the end result will be? You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into singing. He's saying the whole, everything around you will begin to sing and rejoice in your life. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, instead of the
thorn bush
shall come up the, there's so many versions, I keep forgetting which bush and tree they used in it, but, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts, oh my God. Anyhow, it just says you'll be blessed, mightily blessed. So, this is what it's talking about in 2 Peter when it says knowledge. It's not talking about the knowledge you get here on the earth. It's not talking about knowledge you can get out of textbooks or from anyone else on the planet unless they're speaking to you the word of God. Revelation knowledge comes only from the word. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 4. Now, I told you, God gave me a definition of grace. I never realized that it's almost exactly what this next verse says. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. Do we have that up there? 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, right? And of Jesus our Lord. Then it says, as his divine power, He begins to define, he's defining grace as his divine power. Remember I said God's definition that he gave to me? He says, it's my willingness to use my power and my ability on your behalf. Grace is, then he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the revelation knowledge. That's where it comes from. I started getting revelation knowledge from the Lord in the area of finances. I began to operate in a different realm, a revelation knowledge realm. I started doing what I was hearing and learning from God, and my finances exploded. I got revelation knowledge from the Lord in the area of healing. I got healed of an ulcer. That triggered this thing. That was the first sign, that was the first planting of revelation knowledge. Like, wow! I mean, there's nothing logical about this. I didn't get this through five physical senses. And I began to devour the word, devour the word, devour the word. What was I doing? I was getting my mind in agreement with what the word of God says. Now, it took time because everything in my mind says, that's crazy, that's insane. I can put this hand on the head of a person who has allergies from head to toe, and this is going to change anything in their body. There is nothing in this world's knowledge that comes through the five physical senses, nothing that would agree with that. In fact, everything I've learned through sense knowledge would disagree with that. What's in this? Muscle, sinews, you know, flesh, bones. How's that going to heal anything? And yet this very hand right here has laid on hundreds of bodies that have been absolutely, undeniably, supernaturally, instantaneously healed. Amen. Hundreds.
Come on.
Where's the logic in that? There is none. Yeah. There's no logic in this world, but there is a revelation knowledge that I received that took me, I explained that a little bit last week, about a year for my brain to get into agreement, full agreement, not partial agreement. Now, I don't want you to take that as some kind of a standard. You may think, man, I got to work at this for a year. You may get it in 2 days.
Amen.
Seriously.
Amen.
It's all a matter of how much mud you got going on in your brain, right? I mean, how much are you fighting against working? I mean, we're all very different. I've heard stories many times. I know this one, this guy was in a meeting with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was preaching. The guy got saved in his meeting. Kenneth Hagin was teaching on healing, but the guy got saved because Kenneth always does altar calls at the end. The guy gets saved, but Kenneth was teaching on healing, so he got radically saved, and he just heard this whole message about healing, and he just actually thought that was like real. Like, you said it's real. Just like that, he totally believed it, went to a local hospital and cleaned it out.
Come on.
It was only later when other loving, caring Christians got around him and began to explain to him why he's got to be careful and started filling him up with a whole bunch of other stuff that it stopped everything flowing in his life. And you would think that would never stop after that happened, but it did. But then he had to work himself back through it, and it took him a long time. But as long as there was no one telling him anything otherwise, Kenneth Hagin preached that. That guy literally went, it was a small local hospital, literally went to the hospital and cleaned it out. He just said, well, I can pray for people. They can get healed. In the name of Jesus, get healed. You're healed. You're healed. He's like, yeah, God said we can do this now. You're healed. You're healed. And they're all like, pop, 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 pop. They were all just healed. His mind was in complete agreement. There was nothing blocking it. That's how fast it can happen. It doesn't take a year. It doesn't have to take a year. It may take 5 years. It's just how thick-headed are you? How much unbelief have you built up over the years? Apparently, I had a fair amount, and it took me a long time, a lot of reading. But it was revelation knowledge that brought the grace of God flowing through my life in that area, and then I started experiencing healing, the miracle of healing. Are you with me? Grace, the power of God, be multiplied to you in your life through revelation knowledge of God's word. That's what that's saying. Amen. I'm going to end it there. 20 after, baby. Woo, come on. See? Now who's a believer in miracles? My mom, she said, yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I wanted to definitely leave time for ministry. So, Peter, are you there?
Well, some of you are probably keyed up too after just hearing that. So if anyone's got physical ailments, let's get healed. If you've got a knee that's hurting you, elbow that's hurting you, a back that's hurting you, a sinuses that are infected, anything. If you need emotional healing, if you need, if you would like to receive Jesus, if you haven't received Jesus, if you would like any prayer, come on up. We're gonna have some teams up here. Ooh, come on. Derek's gonna play some music. That was such a good sermon.